Today, we are going to look at the fourth fruit of the Spirit, patience. And by the look on your faces, it's a fruit that we need a little more of in our lives. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll be in both those places, reading from both those texts this morning. By the way, that could have gone on. I was like, how long can I give up my message to do this cringy intro? But that's as far as we went. So we're in 1 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm also going to ask you to grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one when you came in, if you didn't get one of these, then we're going to ask you to scan this behind me, same way you did the offering. If you'll scan that QR code, it takes you to our digital bulletin. Special things inside the bulletin this week. We'll talk about this at the end, that we're doing some deacon nominations for those of you that are members and can vote on that kind of stuff. But this morning, we just want to prepare our hearts for God's Word. So we are going to ask you to have Bibles open if you have them. We're going to ask you to take notes. We do that. We think worship is about participation. So when we sing, we sing. We pray, we pray. When we give, and when we study, we're actually going to study together. In fact, we believe in it so much that when you go home and all of those notes, there are discussion questions. There's seven numbered questions, but each of those has several other questions that you can do with your family tonight around the dinner table, that you can do with your small group this week if you're meeting with them. If you don't have a small group, contact us. We would love to get you in one. But I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word. Father, as we approach your Word this morning, we just pray that you would do a work in our hearts. God, this is one of those that when we talk about it, I think everybody knows it's an issue, but we struggle. We struggle. And God, this morning, my prayer is that you would show us exactly how patient you've been with us, and that we might see our need to be that way with others. And Jesus, we ask that in your holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. Amen. So guys, excuse me. We've got two primary verses. We've got John 15, 5, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our other kind of main verse is found in Galatians chapter 5. And so here it is on the screen, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. And yes, we're walking through all of them. This morning, I want to talk to you about that patience thing that you guys did so awesome with a second ago. And there's three things that I want to share with you primarily. And here's the first. I want you to understand that God loves us and he continues to be patient with us. Okay? God loves us and he continues to be patient with us. So our first week of the series wasn't really week one. It was week zero. It was our intro week where we just kind of talked about this fruit of the Spirit, in a general sense. But real week one was when we dove in the first fruit, which was love, right? And in that week, during that week, I shared with you the fact that God is love. And as such, because he's love, the Bible declares that he loved us first. That's Romans 5:8, right? But God proves his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we spent a good amount of time that morning talking about that love of God, right? That love of God that is so different than our love. Our love is hot and it's cold, it's up and it's down. Our love is all based on our circumstances and our preference and how others treat us. But we said this love of God, it's not like that. It's not like a natural kind of love. It's a supernatural kind of love. In fact, the word in the original language in Greek is agape. It's a covenantal kind of love. It's a love that is promised to be unchanging. It's a love that's not dependent on circumstance or how you feel or how you perform, but it's just God saying, hey, I'm going to love you, period. Right? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so we read about that love. Again, if you have your Bibles, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 1 and just read through verse 8 because I just want to refresh our minds and our hearts and our spirits of this word we read that week. Paul writes, if I speak human or angelic tongues, but I don't have love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. Just let that sink in for a second. Man, if you have faith to move mountains, but you don't have love, it's nothing. That's huge, y'all. That's huge. He goes on in verse 4 to say, love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not boastful. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not irritable. And it doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Love never ends. Now, I want you to notice the very first descriptor of this love of God. It's in verse 4. It's on the screen behind me. It says, love is patient. Love is patient. Literally, the first word that God uses, by the way, that's what the Bible is. The Bible is God's inspired word. So the first word that the Holy Spirit tells the Apostle Paul to write down to describe the love of God is the word patient. Love is patient. You might recall that first Sunday as we talked about love, I asked you guys some questions. And one of the questions I asked you had to do with that word patient. I asked, how patient has God been with you? How patient has God been with you? How long has God loved you in spite of your sin and rebellion? I also had you take a little personal inventory. You guys love that. I know. I remember. Scale of 1 to 10, right? And in that, I ask this question, how patient are you with others? Are you as patient with others as God is with you? Right? And if you're like, always, that was a 10. If you're like, not so much, you were a 1. So this is where I want to start this morning, where we began the series, God Loves You. And the fact that God loves you inherently means that God has been patient with you. You see, your testimony, your conversion, the moment that you came to accept Jesus and become a follower of God, become a child of God, it is not really a testament to anything that you've done. We read that last week, Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, so no one can boast, right? And so we listen, our testimony isn't really ours. It's His. And if you are a Christian, it is because God has been patient with you because He loved you in spite of your rebellion. He loved you in spite of your worst day. He spoke to you in spite of those things. Man, that's awesome. But here's what I want you to understand. The word patient is not just something that God has been with you. It's not a past tense thing. It's not just that God was patient with you so that He could bring you into the kingdom, but God is still patient with you this very second. God is actively patient with you every day, every hour, every moment. God is actively patient with you. I love what Peter writes. Peter is writing early Christians in Asia Minor, and he writes this in 2 Peter 3:8 and 9. He says, dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just like one day. The Lord does not delay His promise, as some understand delay. Rather, He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So here's who Peter's writing to. He's writing to early believers, and early believers are asking the same question that we are asking today, and that question is, Jesus, when are you coming back? Right? Come on, I'm tired of this. Man, I'm so sick of this world. I just want you to come back, and I want you to set everything right. I'm so sick of the hurt and the heartache and the death and the divorce and the disease. I just want you, Jesus, when are you coming back? And the early church felt the same way that you feel, church. And here's Peter's answer. Listen, it's crazy. His answer is, listen, God's not slow in coming back. That's not what's going on. He is not slow as you think he's slow, but to God, a thousand years is like a day. Day is like a thousand years, and he's not slow. He's patient. And listen, y'all, he's not just patient with the lost. It does say that he wants none to perish, but it says, look at the text, he is patient with you. Peter's talking to the church. He says, listen, God is not slow like you think he's slow. You want to know where he is? He is in heaven being patient with his children to do what he's called them to do. Wow. See, here's the truth about God. Ready? God wants heaven to be crowded. That's his heart. God wants heaven to be packed full, y'all. He wants heaven to be full of every tribe and every nation and every tongue. He wants heaven to be full of people that we will be shocked are there. Right? He wants us to get there and look around and go, wow, I didn't even know. I didn't know that grace was that far reaching. Right? That's what God wants. And listen, God in his foreknowledge has predestined us. Right? This is his plan. His plan was to reconcile us to Jesus, to himself through Jesus. Reconciliation, that Jesus came and lived the life that we couldn't. He died the death that we deserve. And that all who believe in him can become children of God, can be reconciled, can be made right with God. So we have access to the Father. And then get this is his plan. That those that are reconciled would then go forth and participate in the ministry of reconciliation, telling others about Jesus Christ. Don't believe me? Here it is. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. So what am I supposed to do, Pastor? Tell others about Jesus? Like, that's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. So listen, I love you. Man, I love you. You're like me. You probably ask at times, Jesus, when are you coming back? And his answer is, when are you going to do what I've asked you to do? I want heaven to be crowded. And you are my chosen method to deliver the gospel. That those that have been set free will go speak freedom to the nations. That's the call. And so anytime we get frustrated with God and we think that he's been slow, we have to look in the mirror and say, why am I so slow to speak about him? That God is wanting to use me, and that the more that I don't, the longer I will wait, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. People ask all the time, Pastor, when is Jesus coming back? I read about the signs, and I read Revelation. I've read kind of in the Gospels, and there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. And here's my answer. Ready? Jesus is coming back when the gospel has reached everyone God intends it to reach. So you can do one of two things. You can spend your life studying the text, trying to figure out a day and an hour which Jesus says you can't know. Or you can spend your life doing the one thing he's called you to do, which will actually lead to his return, being ministers of reconciliation. So here's what I want you to know. It's not just that God loves you. It's not just that he has been patient with you. But y'all, we're not doing it. Right? We're not. We're brutally honest. Hey, how many in the room today could go, yeah, that's my heartbeat. I mean, the one single thing I'm focused on is telling others about Jesus, bringing them into the kingdom. I mean, if people look, I mean, I'm sure where God sits on his hill looking down at all of my thoughts, all of my attitudes, all of my actions, that's what he says about me. Whew, not so much, right? And so what I'm telling you is not only does God love you, he does. Not only was he patient with you, but he loves you so much, he's still patient with you. You are still his chosen method to deliver the gospel. God speaking through his redeemed. That's his plan. That's his plan. So that's where we start, guys. That is where we start. God loves us and continues to be patient. Well, the second thing I want to share with you is that patience is a key element of faith and blessing. Patience is a key element of faith and blessing. Now, that's one that hits home. We get quiet after point one, but point two, we're like, blessing, yeah, I need some of that. Come on. Anybody here that would say they don't want blessing in their life? No, we want blessing, right? So patience is key here. So Hebrews 6:12. Check out this statement. It's huge. We do not want you to become lazy, the author of Hebrews writes, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Right? That's the NIV version. We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. The writer of Hebrews is imploring his readers not to grow weary, not to give up. And then in the very next verse, he's going to talk about Abraham. He's going to mention Abraham, and he's going to mention how God promised Abraham. And then he's going to write this in verse 15 of Hebrews 6. He says, "And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham obtained the promise." Right? Again, that's the goal. We want the blessing. We want to obtain the blessing. God is a blesser, okay? And so how did Abraham get it? How did he receive it? He got it through patience, through faith and through patience. I want to ask you a question this morning because I know, based on our little intro, patience is something you struggle with, something I struggle with too. What are some of the blessings that we are longing for only come through patience? What if some of the promises, like this is the longing of his heart, y'all. The longing of Abraham's heart was to be a father. Amen? Like that was the long, he just wanted to be a dad. Like we talk about Abraham, we talk about the nations that come through Abraham, your father of many, but he just, at the heart of it, he just wanted to be a dad. Like yes, the thought, I'll make you the father of many nations, that's probably cool. More than anything, he wanted to hold a baby in his arms and sing and you know, like that's what he wanted. More than anything else, he just wanted to be a dad. And God makes this promise, and then Abraham just has to wait. Wait. But it says through his patience, he obtained it. He received it. He received it. I just want to share the first verse of one of my favorite Psalms of David with you this morning. It's Psalm 40. I love Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. David writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry." In other words, God moved, but it happened because of what? My patience. God heard me. God acted. God delivered. But it only came because I waited patiently. It's easy to read those words and think that patience then must just be a lack of activity. Anybody else think that? Come on. But here's the thing. That word waited in the Hebrew, it does not just mean wait. It means that you're waiting for something. It literally speaks of another definition of it, way it's defined, is to expect some. Christmas morning. You guys remember? Christmas morning. It's coming! Like, you're going, you're a kid. You're like, oh, go to bed. No, I can't. Like, you're giving the kids Benadryl. Go, please, God, go to sleep. Things need to happen. And you're that kid, and you wake up at 3:30. Like, Mom, Dad, he's here. You got to get. I mean, there was this overwhelming expectation. And, y'all, that is exactly what David's talking about. Waiting is not just sitting on your behonkis. All right? So here's my definition of patience for you. Ready? Here it is. Write this down. Patience is an active expectation that God will. That's it. Patience is an active expectation that God will. That's what patience is. It's just, I'm expecting God to move. I'm waiting to see God move. I'm thinking about how God's going to move. I'm on the edge of my seat going, God, I know you're coming. God, I know you'll come through. God, I know that you don't fail. God, I know that you're going to show up. And I'm just waiting to see it happen. That's patience, y'all. It's an active belief that no matter how bad it looks today, one day God will make it right. And the Bible testifies time and time again, that's exactly what God does. Abraham waited patiently, and God blessed. David waited patiently, and God delivered. Patience is a key element of faith and blessing. Patience is this active expectation that God will. Third thing I want to share with you this morning is that we can ask God for anything, including patience, but the only time it's promised to us is if we abide. We can ask God for anything, including patience, but the only time it's promised to us is if we abide. So we're going to do a little honesty test this morning with the men in the room, okay? Now, you better answer honestly because I'm going to ask the ladies with you afterwards how honest you were, okay? How many of us have ever taken a shortcut that did not, it ended up like taking longer? Anybody? Any men, you're on it? Ooh, look at you. Now, ladies, how many of you would say, absolutely, he didn't raise his hand, but that's, yes, taking a shortcut, it took longer. We all do this, right? Why? Because we like shortcuts. We like shortcuts. Listen, I want to tell you, y'all, there are two ways to patience. There's two routes to patience. The route that's promised in the Bible is this. Ready? Abide and you get it. That's promised. Abide in Jesus, and you get patience. If you're remaining in Jesus in a constant relationship with him, you'll get his patience. It's going to be yours. It's guaranteed. That is the roadmap, okay? So that is one route. And then there's the shortcut method. The one that we try, because we, you know, the other thing takes some time and effort and focus and, you know, So we like to just throw up little shotgun prayers, don't we? Dear God, give me patience today. Amen. Out the door. Okay? Give me patience today. Out the door. We're out the door. And some of us think, well, that's biblical, right? I mean, he said, ask anything in my name and you'll receive it. And you know what? He did say that, but he actually said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask anything and you'll receive it. Just context kind of matters. He's talking about abiding. If you abide, anything you ask is yours. But we're trying not to abide. We're trying to bypass the abide. We're looking for a shortcut to the abide. And in that shortcut desire, right? In that shortcut desire, we pray this little prayer. Hey, God, give me patience real quick. Now, listen, I'm not going to make you be brutally honest in church because you're sitting next to people you know pretty well. So I'll be brutally honest. Here's what typically happens in my life when I try to take the shortcut to patience. I say, God, I need patience today. Please, God, grant me patience. And then I get to work. Whew. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. The gates of all things are broken. I have a million fires to put out. It ends up being one of my most stressful days ever. You know, and I'm praying. I'm particularly praying, like, God, let me be patient with my family today. Let me be patient with my kids today. I want to be a good dad. And then I go to work. I have one of the most stressful days ever. And then I come home from work from that very long day. And I walk into my house. And of course, my children have done everything they were supposed to do. Of course, they have done all of their chores, and the house is picked up well. And when I walk in, they're so excited to see me, and they run to their father, and they sit by him and say, Dad, how was your day? So good to see you. I've been waiting for you to get home. Just love you so much. I appreciate all the hard work you do to provide for us and not just put a roof over our head, but clothes on our back and food in our fridge. Oh, Dad, by the way, we always have so much food to eat. We're never without anything. That's not how it goes. And so when you walk into it not being that way, after praying for patience and having a really rough day, and instead everything is in chaos and nobody's done anything that they should, and the first thing I hear is, when are we going to the store? We don't have any food, though the freezer is full and the fridge is full and the pantry is full, but I don't have the one chip that they like. When I walk into the house, and the reason I don't have the bag of chips that they like is because they've eaten them all in one day and then thrown the bag onto the floor of my house as if it's a barn. They've eaten every breakfast item for snack after school, so we have no breakfast left. And every corn dog stick you could imagine is just put in any place that it would stand. We're not even talking about laundry or dishes. And then when I have the gall to say to them, "Oh, dear children whom I love, did you forget the things that you were supposed to do when you got home? Or last night before you went to bed?" They speak to me in a manner that's unbecoming. Do you know how I respond to that in that moment after that day of praying for patience? The answer is not very well. So I'm testifying about my life, believing that that is true in yours as well. And if you have young kids, don't worry, it's coming. Those of you that your kids are out of the house, it's your spouse that does these things to you. It's fine. Right? And it may not be the chips on the floor. It's going to be every utensil for hair left on the countertop. Or, I mean, whatever, it's going to happen. Ladies, it's going to be every toilet seat in the home up and unscrubbed. And then we come home and we lose it. And when we lose it, now remember, I was praying for a shortcut. God gave me a route. I've chosen my own route, thinking it would be faster. And then after I lose it, that Holy Spirit convicts my heart. And I end up having to run to the Father and saying, "God, I'm such an idiot. I literally prayed for this today. And I just forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of that outburst. Would you help me make it right?" And then I get to go to those people. Because in that moment of prayer, God shows me how patient he's been with me, and I realize these people deserve so much better, and I have to go to them with a different attitude and mindset, kind of eating crow, going, "Connor, my bad, dude. I didn't mean to yell at you this morning," because, you know, right? We have this conversation from time to time. It's two routes. Only one's promised. So somebody's like, "Well, Pastor, are you trying to tell me not to pray for patience?" Listen, some of you, quite frankly, I think should. I think you need to pray for patience. You know why? Because we've been doing Abide for like 5 weeks now, and it ain't working yet. Right? I mean, I love you. You're not reading the Bible anymore. You're not praying anymore. You're not worshiping anymore. You just kind of come to church, checking the list. You're still doing the rituals. And if you're still doing the rituals, I want to encourage you this week, go pray for patience. Because through it, I think he'll make you run to him. And he'll make you, because there's one way we get it. There's one way it's promised. It is only through abiding in Jesus. It's through that relationship with Jesus. He'll help you. He'll help you. So somebody says, "Pastor, will you tell me not to pray?" I'm not telling you. I want you to pray. By the way, there are certain things promised that you get in prayer. One of them is wisdom. Like, there are certain parts. God says anyone who lacks wisdom can ask for it. It will be given to him generously. But he doesn't say that about patience. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. But that's part of that remain. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm not telling you not to pray for patience. What I'm telling you is that I've been doing this a long time, and spiritual shortcuts don't exist. Period. Spiritual shortcuts don't exist. Only God's proven channels of blessing. That's what exists. And God has said, this is how you get this. Just remain in me. So what do we do? I need to let you guys out sometime in the near future. I think we're getting close, right? So four things very quickly. I'll move quick. Number one, receive Jesus as Lord. Talked about it every single week. If you have no patience in your life, okay, it may be a sign. This is spiritual fruit. You only get spiritual fruit by being born of the Spirit of God. So you can't get it. People that say, "Well, like, I've always been a Christian." No, you haven't. You weren't born a Christian. That doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. Well, I've always known about Jesus. You've known about him this way, but to know about him this way, like in your heart, where you go, "Yes, you are indeed Lord. Take control of my life. I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my..." That's a different thing. And so Jesus says, listen, unless you're born of the Spirit, Nicodemus, you can't have eternal life. And so the good news is that that's for everyone who believes. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's super simple. Say, "Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on a cross for me. Would you come into my life and take control? Be in control of me." The churchy word for that is be my Lord, be my Savior. But you pray any version of that simple prayer, he will honor it. So that's first and foremost. Number two, examine your life. That's the point of the series. God, is this fruit evident? Listen to me. If you suffer from anywhere from minor to mid road rage, I love you. if you shake your fist and say ugly things every time you drive through Maynard, if you think about the engineers that designed all those dumb lights, ooh, did I say that? If you're telling on yourself, every one of those stops is an opportunity to pray in your morning commute. Every one of those stops is an opportunity to lift one more person up to the Lord. Every one of those stops is an opportunity to talk to God, right? To examine. If it's not where it is, that's showing you something. If you constantly lose your patience, then you're flying past the opportunities God is giving you to run to Him and to spend time with Him, and instead you're flying past them in anger. You guys following me? So it's examine. Take a look, okay? If I see that stuff coming out of me, what is the answer? Here we go. Here's the answer. Ready? Keep focusing on your relationship with Jesus. That's the answer. This is not about ritual. It's not about Christian routine or practice. That's not how we get spiritual fruit. We only get spiritual fruit that lasts, when we abide in a personal relationship with Jesus. And it's different than ritual. It's different than routine. You can't check it off a list. It comes through constantly praying. It comes through consistent study. God, what do you say? What do you want of me? And then obedience. I'm going to obey that, God, right? And then it comes from following the Holy Spirit's leading. Holy Spirit, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm kind of new to this. Show me what you want me to do today. Lead me into conversations you want me to have today. Provide me with opportunities to share your love today, right? Lead me, guide me, help me hear your voice. And it's this, that's the art form of the Christian walk. The other stuff is kind of science, just do it. But this is that thing, man, I got to be led by the Spirit. I got to be quiet enough that I can hear Him in my life, feel that tug and know it's Him. Last thing, guys, I'll share with you is that we've got to share Jesus with others. Man, you've got to. We're going to talk about patience. You've got to know that God's been patient with you. God's been patient with you. That's what we just read in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord doesn't delay His promise, as some understand delay, but He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish. When's Jesus coming back? When everyone's heard. It's when Jesus is coming back. That's the promise of God's word. He's coming back when everyone's heard. We are His chosen method for everyone to hear. That's what the Bible declares. So we got to get on it. We got to get on it. So I've asked you these three questions several times. I want them to become part of your life. I want you to put them on your phone. I want you to set a reminder to look at them. You can take pictures of them if you want to. Here's the three questions we should ask ourselves every week. Number one, have I invited anyone to church this week? It's number one. The easiest way to be a peacemaker, the easiest way to be a minister of reconciliation, is just to bring people into the presence of God. That's the easiest step. Hey, what are you doing Sunday? You want to join me and my family at church? We'd love to have you. Let's go eat lunch afterwards. You can all do this. You can all do this, right? So that's step one. It's super easy. Step two, ask yourself this. Have I shared a God story with someone this week? A God story is just how God is working in your life. Man, I've been struggling with blank, and God showed up this week and did blank, right? I mean, it was awesome how God moved and worked. We're just sharing that with other people in our life. And then finally, have I shared the gospel with somebody this week? Man, God loves you. Man, God loves you. We're praying for opportunities to go, hey, you know that God loves you? You know that God cares about you? You know that God created you to be with Him? Do you know that because of our sin, that we've all been separated from God, been separated from His goodness and separated from His love? But do you know that because of Jesus, it doesn't have to stay that way? That Jesus came, literally the Bible says, to be sin for us. Not that He sinned, but He took all of our sin upon Himself, and He took the penalty of that upon Himself, and He died on the cross so that anyone who believes in Him might have eternal life, might live with God forever, become a child of God, become adopted, the Bible says. Man, do you want to be adopted by God? Doesn't that sound awesome to be a part of His family? I'd love for you to be my brother, my sister in Christ, just to share the gospel with somebody. Y'all, I love you. But if we don't get serious about it, then we can't ask, God, where are you? If you've asked that question lately, God, where are you? God, when are you coming back? If you're not actively doing these things, you don't have any right to ask the question. That's tough love, but that's love. If we want to be people that can ask of God, where are you? When are you coming back? Then we have to be people that are consistently giving ourselves to being ministers of reconciliation. You got it? That's awfully quiet. Try that again. So you got it? Okay. Are we going to do it? All right. Anybody need some help? All right. Let me pray for you. We'll pray for you. Pray for me. Father, God, it is overwhelming, the opportunity that you put before us and the responsibility that you lay at our feet. We don't save anybody. God, only you can. But your chosen method to save them is through our mouth. That's your chosen method. That you empower your people who've been saved by grace to go be messengers of that grace and reconciliation to others. That's your plan. And so, God, we pray right now, fill our mouth and our minds and our hearts with words and give us the power to get out of our comfort zones and to begin inviting and praying and sharing God's stories and even sharing the gospel when you present opportunities, because only then does your word say that you'll return. God, that's what we want. Make this part of our DNA, God. You have been patient with us and you are patient with us. To this day, you are patient because we are not doing this. God, help us do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.